Blog Talk Radio.
The Work at Home Jungle. You can get lost if you don't have the tools and expertise needed to navigate its treacherous terrain. Behind the Scenes Work at Home Podcast gives you the upper hand with regard to starting and maintaining your ideal lifestyle with your own business, doing what you do best. Grab the nearest thing to write with and prepare to take notes, because this show is jam-packed with discoveries and experiences that will carry you through your journey as a freelancer. Let's begin with your host, Robin Bull.
Hello, 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 everybody. It is Friday, November 4th, and of course, it's noon. My name is Robin Bull, and I am your host, and as usual, I am joined by my husband and co-host, Danny Bull. And before we actually get started, I just wanted to remind everybody that if you are looking to learn anything about SEO for yourself or your business, make sure that you head over to sellfy.com/TheRobinBull, all one word, and go ahead and pick yourself up a copy of the 1.5-hour webinar that I recorded that teaches you all about SEO basics. It's keywords, how to place them, how to research them, how to find out what you should be writing about, setting up an editorial calendar, everything you can possibly imagine, but the basics of it. So make sure you go over there and do that. So today what we're going to talk a little bit about first is problem solving under pressure or under stress. And then we're going to talk about the 6 main reasons why people fail when they try to start a business. Doesn't really matter if it's freelance business or any other type of business. Of course, my expertise is freelancing. So that's kind of the direction that I lean to. My husband, like I said, he's on here. His name is Dan. He can vouch for my next statement. The reason why I thought we should talk about solving problems under stress is because I am a giant stress ball. I think you would agree with that.
Yeah, when it comes up, yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely a walking bundle of nerves. It's just, it's who I am. It's part of my personality. It is something I've worked really hard on to learn how to control. And overall, do a fairly good job if you, consider where I've come and things I've experienced. But one thing to keep in mind is something that I think is true. I think people who are naturally worrisome, I actually think, that they make good business owners. And the reason why I think that is because when we're in that planning process, although we can tend to get, stuck on certain aspects, or want to wait until all the bugs are worked out or whatever, the thing to keep in mind about people who have a lot of anxiety and spend a lot of time worrying, we plan ahead because we think about anything that could possibly go wrong. And the benefit to doing that is that you're able to make a contingency plan. You're able to write down those problems and list out potential solutions in case they do come up. So in essence, it makes you more proactive. And the importance of being proactive in a business is to, of course, avoid problems. What do you think?
Well, yeah. It's definitely a better quality than most people who decide they're just going to start a business. Most people do it just because they're sick of having somebody tell them what to do. They don't realize everything else entailed with it. When you get somebody like yourself who tends to, stress out and get on the little high strung about things, you tend to, before you act, you have to sit there and run through the possibilities of what could happen, and most people who do this are awfully pessimistic about it.
Right.
They never think, oh, what could happen is I could be making $15,000 to $20,000 in a month. They're sitting there thinking, what if I don't come up with enough business in the next 30 days? How am I going to pay my rent?
Right, but what they don't think about is, okay, so this is an issue that worries me, so how can I turn this into a positive? And I know this is a possibility. What are some things I can do to prevent that? And to just sort of turn that around from being a liability, so to speak, to where you're constantly froze up and you don't want to take action to do something, and turn it into an asset. Use use those things that come in your mind that start to scare you and worry you, use that as an asset to plan for these problems.
Yeah, I think a lot of people miss out on, a lot of people get stuck on the fear instead of, hey, this is just one little, you know, stepping stone in my way. I'll use it to come up with a way to not be falling down over each and every one of these. I'll find a way around it.
Absolutely. And, you know, we actually sort of had a situation like that over this past weekend. And that, although it's sort of related, it's also important if you are the anxious type, like I am, when you are under extreme stress and something then happens, the one thing you have to be able to do, and it's really, really hard to do, is to step back and take your emotions out of it and to try to find a solution. Stop focusing totally on the problem, because if there's a problem, by nature, there has to be a solution. And so then you have to start turning your focus on what can I do to fix this situation. And that's something that we actually had to deal with this weekend, because we bought a van about a month ago, new to us van. It's a very nice van. Fits our large family quite well, and unbeknownst to us and even to the dealer, it had a bad alternator. They thought that because some of the repairs they did on it, you know, when your check engine light and all these other lights are coming on in your vehicle, they say sometimes that takes time to reset. I don't know, not a mechanic, don't care. The lights would just go on and off. We didn't really think much about it at first, except we had an appointment at the dealership for actually this last Monday for Halloween to get the vehicle worked on for a few other things that they agreed to fix. Well, we're out getting stuff done this weekend, traveling. We had a lot of crap to do, and all of a sudden we're broke down out of town because the alternator goes out. And I had a client who shall remain unnamed, obviously, who didn't pay their bill. They didn't pay Friday on the due date. They didn't pay Friday night after I contacted them. They didn't pay Saturday. They didn't pay Saturday night. They didn't pay Sunday. And so now I'm freaking out. This is a problem. I've got a van that needs to be fixed. There are children. I had other stuff that we wanted to do for our 16-year-old son's birthday. Like, we had this list of crap. And we already knew it was the alternator. You know, we kind of found that out the hard way. And thankfully, when we did break down out of town, somebody that was relatively close to where we were, they were able to come and rescue us and take us home. So it's always good. But still, we had no way to fix this. It was awful.
No. We have to kind of give a shout out to Lou for that one. He did come
absolutely.
And help us out.
Yeah, he did great. he's definitely in this situation the knight in a shiny red SUV. But we, you know, we were freaking out. And, of course, by the second time that the vehicle broke down, I'd already been paid. But that actually leads up to what I had to do to get paid. I had spent all Friday worrying about this and all Saturday. And, you know, Saturday evening when we got in after being stranded yet again, the first time – well, actually, no, that was the second time we'd gotten stranded, but – I was at my wit's end, didn't know what to do, because the way this particular client works is I would always write their content, put it out on a shared server, invoice them, invoices paid in 5 days. And sometimes they would pay late, but it wasn't days upon days late. Sometimes it was a couple of hours or whatever, and a friendly reminder usually got them on top of it. And I had been making it a point to send them a reminder every time they had a bill due. Matter of fact, I actually need to do that today. But I had been sending them a reminder. Wasn't getting paid. Contacted the person I needed to contact. Still wasn't getting paid. Contacted the owner of the company. Wasn't getting paid. Like, nothing was happening. And so Danny and I sat there and thought about it, about what we could do for me to make my point that this needed to be paid. Because as a writer, until you're paid for your content, the content that you wrote is yours. Doesn't belong to anybody but you at that point. Even when you write it for somebody else, your name's not going to be on it. If you're not paid, it's your content. So the first thing I thought was, well, I have backups of all the files because I write them on my laptop and then I upload them to the shared drive. So my first thought was, and I'm upset too, I'm going to go in and I'm going to delete their copy of the file on the shared server. I go out there, I deleted the first one, and the server pops up a notification that says, well, you're not going to see this anymore, but your client can still see it. Oh, well, that doesn't solve anything. So I restored the file. Danny and I got a couple more things done around the house. We're still thinking and brainstorming about how to fix it, and then it dawns on me. They've already edited these files, and clearly I don't want to take away the work that someone else that they're paying has already done to the file, because that's just mean. And my goal, although I was angry and upset, I wasn't trying to be mean. I'm trying to make a point. So what I ended up doing was going and opening a Word document on my own laptop. I went and I copied out or cut out the content from the files that they had not paid for, put it into my own Word document, saved it, named it something I would know, which I believe it said unpaid as of and the date, so that I knew where those pages were found. So now they have these blank pages. I went into these blank pages and I left a polite note, and it was professional and fairly polite. This content was recalled by the author because this content has not been paid for. Once the balance of, and I listed the amount that was due, received via PayPal, gave them the PayPal address again, just in case, although I knew they had it, your content will be returned to you. Lo and behold, within like, I don't know,
I'd say probably, it was about 6 hours.
Right, but it was overnight, so it's important for people to know it was like overnight. I don't want people to think I was still left hanging. But yeah, within just a few hours, I was paid, and I had a very polite inquiry back asking if they could have their content back. So I went and, put all the content back. But I got paid. And that's just an instance of looking at the problem and knowing you have this issue, but also finding a creative solution to deal with it, even in the heat of the moment, and being professional about it.
I think it's important to note that that was not the first time that that happened. I don't suggest people do this. If this is the first time they're late
right.
on a payment, this
yeah,
is
don't,
not an acceptable
That's
first
not the way
thing
to handle
you need
it.
To do. But something you could do, especially since earlier we were talking about normally high-strung people and how planning is a good thing, making a plan for if something like this happens, jotting down, okay, first time they don't pay, what do you do? Second time you don't pay, what do you do? Third time, fourth time, working out your plan, and you would think, the first time should be enough. It should in a realistic
It's often not.
Yeah.
It's often not. And those clients, they also need to know what your plan is, because it's really not fair to people that you're going to charge a late fee that lines up with your state law, because late fees are regulated by state law. It's not fair to charge that if people don't already know that it's a possibility. I don't
yes,
think.
Yes, and I'm not saying that their first tenant needs a late fee either. Their first
Absolutely.
Payment doesn't need a late fee. The first one may just be you will get an email at, so many hours after due date about not being paid. Maybe your second one is a more, thorough reminder, and then your third one's your late fee. And then your fourth one, you may have to take the content back like you had to do this past weekend.
Right.
I mean, granted,
and I'm actually...
With us, it was more than the fourth time or the fifth, and I think this was probably the ninth time in about 6 months this had happened, so it had just become more of a nuisance than anything.
And, that's something else that anyone who owns a business, it doesn't really matter if you're a content provider or what you're doing. If you're a business provider of any sort, you're a business of any sort, if you hire someone to do your accounting and they tell you, or you have a policy in place, you want invoices paid within a certain amount of time, it is still your responsibility as a business owner to be on top of it to make sure this stuff is getting done. Because... if someone legitimately falls behind because you've given them too many responsibilities, you need to know what's going on so that you can redistribute the work to make it easier for them to fulfill these deadlines to keep your providers happy. Because if suddenly you're not getting content or whatever it is that you've outsourced to a freelancer, you've got a problem because you're not going to be able to run your business. And that's something else that people need to think about when they're starting a business and making these plans.
Oh, yeah, and it's that way for any business owner. I mean, you think about if somebody owns a factory. Let's say, I'm going to go with the instance of these people make, well, let's just say boxes, you know, regular cardboard boxes. And they don't have cardboard to make said boxes because their accountant forgot to pay the manufacturer who actually makes the cardboard. Well, what are you going to do? You no longer have the ability to put out product. And it's all because you didn't want to pay attention to what your accountant was doing. You weren't getting on the same page with your accountant. You weren't talking to them. You weren't making sure that they had every, you know, that everything was getting taken care of. So, yes, it falls back on your shoulders. And at that point, now it's affecting more than just you, it's affecting your workers, it's affecting the providers, it's affecting everybody.
Absolutely. And, you know, I do have to say, though, that with this particular company, it's important to know that the person that I speak with directly, my contact, went above and beyond to try to get the issue handled and had done so numerous times for me. So that's a great thing, and it's great to have workers with the company who stay in contact and try to get the right thing done, but it still amounts to making sure that people who are in leadership positions with power are making sure that people are getting their jobs done, and that's really, really important, because when it starts affecting other people, when you start messing with people's money, you're creating a problem for your business.
Exactly, and I think pretty much a boss's role is really to make sure that everybody else is getting their job done. It's not really, you'll see bosses.
But without micromanaging them.
Yeah, because micromanagement doesn't work for anybody. But, I mean, you'll see bosses who go out and do the work with the regular employees. And in a way that looks great, but at the same time, it's taking away from him being able to make sure business is running as it should.
You know, when I worked in a law firm, even when I went to, you know, when I was still finishing paralegal studies, and even when I taught office management for paralegals and, you know, all the other paralegal classes that I taught, they're fairly standard across the board idea with, you know, what should the boss, in that case, a lawyer, be doing and what they should be giving to their legal assistant, file clerk, their billing clerk, whoever, you know, however the work is divided up. And basically, you know, work that is high level that only they can do. So in the case of a lawyer, you know, they can provide legal advice no one else in the office can, not even paralegals. You know, there are certain things that only a lawyer can do for you. That's what they need to be focusing on. And pretty much anything else, reviewing client files, doing research, you know, a lot of that stuff, completing the billing, that needs to be passed on to other people in order to free up the main person's time that's going to be bringing in most of the business and making most of the money.
Yeah, that's really about all it boils down to.
I mean, I have worked with a lot of lawyers who still got in the trenches and helped with the research and helped with the billing and all of these other things. And that's also great, too, because it makes it all seem like one giant team. You know, no one's better than anybody else. And it does help. But you're right. It is really important that management does what management should do. So moving on, since we only have about 40 minutes left, and if anybody wants to call in and talk about how they've solved the problem under stress or they have tips, you can call in at 323-642-1711. And now what we're going to be talking about, and this is actually a little bit of a re-record, previous podcast that I recorded that had some technical difficulties, we're going to be talking about the six reasons why people fail when they try to start a business. And I can talk about it from the perspective of being a mother because, you know, I've worked full time while starting a business and raising a family and being the type of mom who wants to do the stuff around the house. And it's not because I don't get help. You know, I get all the help I need. It's just, it's still a lot to balance. And so when you want to start a business, though, there are some certain things that you have to do. And there are certain things that will really come back and bite you in the butt. And that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today. And they apply regardless of your gender or the type of business that you're wanting to start, whether you have the funds saved up where you can quit your job and start your venture full time, or if you're working and trying to start a business on the side like I did and like Danny has done as well. And so the first reason why people fail are poor time management skills. And I can speak from experience that working from home with kids is hard, even if you don't have an outside job. And if you have an outside job, it's even more difficult. And, you know, at the time that I originally put this together, we were a one-car family. Now we have two, although only one of them is the vehicle that we use. So you have to have really good time management skills if you want to start a business. It doesn't matter if it's freelancing, working from home. You know, it doesn't really matter what you're doing. You have to have time management skills. You have to be able to make the most of your time. I have to have uninterrupted working time to feel like to myself that I'm making a dent in what I need to do. And as my husband can attest to, sometimes I will get up crazy early just to get that time because I want to have both. I want to be able to spend uninterrupted time with my family later. And I also want to make sure that I'm getting everything done for business. And I know that my husband, Danny, has also seen some instances of poor time management in other businesses as well.
Oh, good Lord, yes. No, I think I've actually been responsible for it a time or two. Because there was a very short time that I tried out the virtual assisting for people. And I think I actually tried to be a professional writer like my wife here, but that did not go well at all for me. I'm just not that good at that part.
Time management can be hard.
Oh, yeah. I remember back whenever I painted houses for a living for a company, my boss wouldn't even get there until 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, but we all had to be there at 7. The sad part about that was, half the time, he's the one that had the key to the house that we were supposed to paint. So we still sat outside for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And then the owner of the company is coming down on us because we're taking too long. Well, we just lost out on about, let's see, 15 hours of our day waiting for our foreman to show up. So
it's important. Time management is important. And it really doesn't matter what you do. Like, I know how now when you're going out and you're doing remodeling and construction and masonry and the things that you do now for your business, time management is important because I see you doing, okay, well, if they're going to pay me this much for the bid or the job, then I want to get it done by 2 days, 3 days, you know, whatever it is, because what you're doing, you're trying to manage your time and effort to make the most amount possible, like to really make it worth your while.
And I think, and I get asked by customers a lot, you know, because I always tack on an extra, if it's a small job, something that'll take 2 or 3 days, I always tack on 3 hours. Now, if it's a big, huge remodel, I'll tack on 2, 3 weeks. So every time I give an estimate, I have a lot of people sit there and go, wow, it's going to take that long. I look at them and go, no, but I'd rather tell you that it's going to take me longer than it actually is.
Under promise and over deliver when it comes to time.
Yeah.
Because
and
then they feel like they're getting something special.
Yeah, and 9 times out of 10 what happens is, you know, after I kind of shoot myself in the foot by doing that because a lot of times what happens is after I'm done, they're going, wow, that didn't take you nearly as long. And then you get those people who are like, I don't think I should pay you as much because you said it was going to take this and you got done half the time. Okay, we apparently forgot my previous conversation where I said that I always say it's going to take longer than I know it's going to take me.
Right. And see, that's another important reason.
I've been complaining about that a few times.
Well, but that's another reason why it's important to get stuff in writing so that people really understand what, you know, what they're getting and how it really works. And that actually, you know, the time management issue leads into the second reason why people often fail, and that's because they have a problem setting their priorities. And anyone that's known me for a week will tell you, children and my husband come first. And that's actually why I really create the hours, is so that they can do the things they want to do. I've worked from cars, parking lots, football stadiums, parks. This weekend I'll be working from some, I don't really know what it is, but the place in Tulsa, because my husband is competing in a Brazilian jiu-jitsu competition. I work from some crazy places so that I'm able to still be there with them, but also meet my deadlines. And that's something you have to keep in mind, is how you're going to set up your priorities. And that goes straight into your time management. You know, just because you work from home, though, doesn't mean that you're the only person who's responsible for everything that goes on at home. Like with me, I still try to take on a lot of that because it's just who I am, but I'm not the only person that's responsible for it, because I'm not the only one that lives there. And I'm really lucky because my husband does step up and, you know, help. And there is a principle that's called the 80-20 rule. It's also called the Pareto principle. And it's a business concept. 20% of what you do generates 80% of your income. And so those dishes that you need to do, they're not going to generate money for you. You know, the throwing in a load of laundry, not going to do it. Now, you could do those things between tasks in order to give yourself a little bit of a break. But when you work from home, you have to spend that time, the 20% of what makes you the most money, that's where the majority of your focus needs to be. And so you have to rethink your priorities. You know, if you have kids that are old enough to help you around the house, you got to make that mandatory. And I started the kids really young with helping around the house so that it was more natural for them. But now that they're older, I pay them for helping, because if they were working a traditional job, they'd be getting paid for their time. So you have to be able to prioritize what you're doing with your time. And most importantly, you have to prioritize your work over being online. Shut down Facebook, take it off your phone if you have to. Same with Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever it is you're on that you're seeing your phone on. Turn your time on. Turn off the ringer to your phone. Whatever it takes during working hours to keep you focused. The only time that this does not apply is if your actual job is being a social media manager. That's it, because the rest of you who think you're online doing anything for your business or not, you're jerking around. And that's really the truth of it. You have to be able to work. And people who say, I don't have time to start a business, but they have time on Facebook for 6 hours at night, you have time to start a business, just if your priorities are screwed up.
Agreed. I mean, it's real simple. If you go back to the whole planning thing, plan. Okay, I'm going to spend so many hours. I'm going to spend 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. working. Then I'm going to spend, you know, 11 to 1, 11 to 2. You know, none of this has to be, everyone's like, oh, well, why are you taking 3-hour lunch? Well, because I'm not going to just take lunch. I'm going to go do the laundry. I'm going to go do the dishes. See, like, I do contracting work. Because of the weather today,
yep,
I'm home. I've done laundry. I've done dishes. I cleaned the kitchen. It, you know, the crap that I'm not getting paid to do, I'm going to do whenever I'm home, because it's got to get done.
Right.
You know, a lot of people, especially women, have this thought that they have to, you know, they have to work and clean and do laundry.
Well, it's how we're raised. That's what society tells us. You know, have it all. You got to do it all. You know, kind of like what you did last night when I was like, I could either do nothing and relax for a little, or I could get in the house. What did you tell me before you left to go to practice? You mean not to touch anything?
Yeah. So, I mean, because I took care of it all this morning, because I wasn't work. I wasn't going to be at work today, so I was like, well, I'm going to go and take care of the dishes. I'm going to go. I'll get it all, and then, you know, it's just going to sit there for a few more hours. I'll get it taken care of. So.
And the other thing to think about there, especially ladies who are listening, is if you have someone who even at least tries to help you, don't go behind them telling them that they're doing it wrong, or don't go behind them and do it yourself, because all you're doing at that point is saying you don't do it good enough, and then they're not going to help you anymore. And so you just need to let them do it how they do it and leave well enough alone. If nobody's bleeding or dying or caught food poisoning from how it's being done, you're okay. Calm down.
Or caught fire, you know. I've seen that happen once or twice. But,
oh, Jesus. Like our microwave a couple of times? Danny?
Well, yeah, okay. So I let the fork in. Sorry. I was in a hurry. But, and men, especially if you're working construction, if you're off a day, that doesn't give you an excuse to just sit around and watch TV or play video games. As I've said before on this show, it takes 5 minutes to load a dishwasher. It literally took me 3 minutes to move clothes from a washing machine to a dryer, from the dryer onto the couch, and put clothes into a washing machine. I actually timed myself again since I said that like earlier, that it was either Wednesday or sometime last week. I started checking to see if my times were still the same as when I was 17. And they're still the same. I apparently have not lost speed at this. So, you know, it took me 15 minutes of my day to do this. And I know some people, maybe World of Warcraft, you know, that 15 minutes could kill, you know, get their little guy killed. But you know what?
Get off the game. Do what you need to do. Then go back to it.
It's still that, and it's still going to be there.
Yeah.
You know, it's a video game. You come back to life.
It's not like video games when we were kids where you got like 4 lives and that was it. Then you had to start the whole game over.
Yeah, no. there's save points and you don't lose jack, you know, so I don't see why everyone's complaining. Of course, that could be because of the video games that we grew up with. You know, Mario fell in the hole one too many times. You just had to start all over. You could have been on the last stage.
Exactly. So my third point, and I actually wrote it a little bit differently because when I did the show, this particular broadcast on my own, obviously I was talking more towards moms who, you know, wanted to work from home and that maybe they were already staying home and wanted to help bring in income. Number three is you stay in frumpy mom mode all day, every day. And I mean this, get up, get dressed. Like, it's okay to work in your pajamas sometimes or your workout clothes or whatever, but seriously, do you remember when we were... I know, but do you remember when you were a kid and someone would take you for school, you know, at least for people whose parents actually loved them, mine didn't, who would get up and actually put on real clothes to take you to school, even if they were stay-at-home parents. They put on at least jeans and a t-shirt. They didn't do this Walmart pajama business going to school. Like, seriously, pajamas need to stay at home. I know that a lot of people with this are going to think I'm some sort of asshole, and like I think everyone should dress up every day, and that's not what I'm saying. You know, I wear jeans and a t-shirt or jeans and a sweater. That's pretty much my attire unless I have a speaking gig somewhere. Then I, you know, put on my old paralegal clothes. Sometimes I do just stay in pajamas, but it's not very often. And everybody does, you know, we get that adjustment period is, oh my God, I work from home. I don't have to get dressed. And that's really cool for about a week, but then it starts affecting how you think. You start getting lazy whether you realize it or not. And I'm not the only person who says this. If you get online, you can actually look up legitimate studies that show how you dress, even just getting up, taking a shower, combing your hair, and putting on clean clothes. That actually changes how you think. You will start feeling better, you know? And you're not some unique and special little snowflake who can get away with just wearing crap all the time. If you want to feel good and look good, you got to get up and do what the rest of us does. If you want to be more productive, you got to start treating yourself like you're an actual business person. And, you know, whatever your dress code is what it is.
Exactly. But, you know, It sets you in a mindset because, you know, that's the way all of us are raised. We get up, we get dressed, we go to school, we go to work.
Yep.
And that's pretty much been instilled in us. So if you don't get up and get dressed, you're not really getting out of bed at that point. You have to do something
To make that change.
Yeah, to make that click in your brain. And I know there's probably people going, oh, I don't have to do that. I don't have to do that. Yeah, you do. You really do. And if you're one of those people that thinks that, try it for a week. It takes only a week for that to really sink into your head to where you'll notice the difference. I mean, maybe you are a little productive right now, but you don't ever get it, you know, you don't ever change out of whatever it was you went to sleep in. Wake up in the morning and start trying it. And just try it for a week. And see. Yeah. Look at your bottom line. Look at how much, we'll just put this in money. Look at how much money, much more money you'll make in that week.
Absolutely.
And if you don't make any more money, then, you know, by all means, call us up. Tell me I'm a liar. I'll
change
accept it.
That's my thing, is just change it. Find what works for you to do it, but it has to be something that motivates you. And the reason why we put on pajamas at night is because we want to relax. The reason why we stay in our pajamas on Saturday or Sunday while we make pancakes is because, again, it's a sign of relaxation. Business, as much as you should love what you do when you work from home in any capacity, it's still business. You still be ready to make money. And so it's about getting in the mindset to change, you know, to make that money.
Exactly.
So number four is going to be, you know, something that you still see me do this once in a while, but it's usually not with business. Are you ready for this?
Okay.
Are you sure you're ready, though? I mean, because you watched me do this the other day, and I got really upset about it, like a total basket case. Procrastination is another reason why people fail when they try to start a business. You know, when I was a kid, I used to be like a huge procrastinator, except like with schoolwork, because even you know this, even now, I don't like crap hanging over my head. If there's a deadline or something that needs to be done, I just want to get it done. But where I still procrastinate with is, you know, the hobbies that I have. And Danny actually saw me do this the other night. I've got three particular projects, crafting projects I'm working on right now. I'm making a dragon for our 7-year-old. That's crochet. I've got a Cthulhu cross stitch that I'm working on. And then I have this 5D embroidery thing that involves like little sequins and stuff. And it's really cool. But I totally froze up trying to figure out what to do the other day and like in my free time, and I ran out of time, and that sucked, and I was upset.
Yeah.
I was so upset. But seriously, though, procrastination is a big reason why people fail. They wait for the perfect time to start, but guess what? There's no perfect time. They're waiting for their kid to be old enough to amuse themselves. Guess what? I have three. Very rarely do they ever just all three amuse themselves at the same time. Someone constantly wants to talk to me about something. And I hate to break it.
Yeah, we got a 16-year-old that does that.
Yeah, I have a 7-year-old that does it too.
Yeah, so, I mean, it doesn't stop. The only thing that stops is they have
the
friends that they try, that they go out and impress instead of you for a few hours a day.
And
that's it.
And their needs may change a little bit, but the fact that they still want your attention in some way doesn't change. And that's a good thing, because it's part of why we start these businesses, is to take care of our kids. The other thing is people want to wait. I don't have the money. I have to wait till I have the money. But unless you're a business that requires a large amount of capital, there's no perfect time. And to start your business, you just need to start it. And then, like, when people get their first couple of clients and they think they're doing this awesome thing, and they are, because getting your first client or two is, like, the hardest part ever. The hardest. Matter of fact, I spent my entire morning writing a lesson for one of my clients that shall remain unnamed right now, my academic client who puts out business material. I spent the last 3 hours this morning writing about how to get clients. That's like the hardest part, especially the first couple, you know. But then, like, people get them and they go into, I'll do it later mode. I have time. I'm self-employed. I can do it later. I can do it later. So, like, they say that during the day. Nighttime comes, and let's say they've had a hard day, their kid's sick. They have to pick their kid up from school. They have to take one to practice. Don't forget making dinner and all this. They're tired. Later does it come. Or they wait so long that they have to rush through the project and they screw it up and get fired. And, you know, I say this because I know how hard it is to work through stuff when you're tired. I finished my degree, you know, while I was working full-time during the day. I had two little kids at the time, and I did most of my studying and work and all this other crap that I had to do at night. And my 16-year-old son now, he was like 5 or 6, and he was always sick. So, you know, I'm trying to do all this and take care of him because he's almost always sick, and it was rough. So you cannot do the I'll do it later crap. Like, you got something to do in business, do it then, because you don't know what's coming either. And if you continue to procrastinate, you're going to get a bad reputation and people just aren't going to want to work with you.
And it goes back to the whole time management thing. If you're not, and the priorities, you have to prioritize, you have to do this. And, you know, I have a friend that I do business with, that forever in the day is, he's got his priorities on the right path, but he's like walking on the sidewalk of that path instead of actually walking on that path. He's just walking next to it going high, you know. And when we're coming close to finishing a job and I'm out looking for more work and I'm getting, you know, people asking us to come out and get bids, and he's like, no, we can't do that right now. We have to finish this job. It's like, yeah, we have to finish this job, but what are we going to do after this job's over? And he's like, oh, it'll still be there. It'll still be there. And then miraculously, when we're done, they
it's
no longer want to talk to us because they found somebody else to do it.
Yep.
So that's a form of that is procrastination at its worst. That is you cutting off your nose to spite your face because you're obsessed about this one particular thing, but you're neglecting everything else. You're
Absolutely.
Neglecting what your next paycheck's going to be. So that creates a bit of a problem. Anymore now, my solution to that was, well, okay, fine, you stay here, I'll be back in a little bit. And I just go do it myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the only way I can get it to work.
That's what I was going to say, is, you know, you got to get it done. Number five is another one that you and I both absolutely hate when it comes from other people who do the whole, I want to do what you do, but I can't, is excuses. And, you know, I probably have every reason a person could possibly think of as far as, you know, I should have been a total failure. And it's actually something I'm working on. It's actually going to be part of a book that I'm currently working on. When I originally did this podcast, I had about 20,000 words on that book. And then, you know, we had the great flash drive crash. So I've had to start that over. And I'm now sitting at 5,000 words. But, you know, my parents were drug addicts. I went to some of the worst and most dangerous public schools in Oklahoma. I got married and I had my kids really young. I was in an abusive relationship. I grew up in the ghetto, and when I say that, like, if you're from Oklahoma in the 90s, Kerr Village, that's all I have to say to you, is Kerr Village.
And for people that don't live in Oklahoma and have never been to Oklahoma,
it's a government housing project.
I've been around, and, you know, people are like, you don't really have ghettos in Oklahoma, and I'm like, you know.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. I was in Arizona, they're like, oh, you have nothing compared to us. And I'm like sitting there looking at them going, what the hell are you talking about? Nobody shot at me yet. And I lived in a pretty decent neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I still got people shooting at me. So don't sit here and tell me, you know, don't sit here and tell me that, oh, I don't know what it is. What, really? You know, the only places, you know, bigger cities like maybe Chicago, that one was a little more messed up. But
yeah.
that one's a little rougher, but, you know, it's also a much larger city.
Well, you know, I dropped out of high school, and you know that. I dropped out right before I was supposed to graduate. Like, I gave up full scholarships to some really, really good colleges. I had a scholarship offer from Vanderbilt, and this was back in the 90s. I had one to OU. I had one to TU. I had stuff, you know, because of my grades and everything. But I was just like, meh, no, screw this, I'm done. And so I should have been a failure, but I'm not. I'm 38 years old. You and I own a home. We don't have payments. We limit the amount of debt that we take on. I am self-employed full-time. You know, we do okay. I'm published. I'm not just self-published, but there's nothing wrong with just being self-published, you know. But I'm traditionally published, and I finished college. I'm always around if my kids need something. None of this happened because it was handed to me. No one handed me this business. Nobody did anything to help me get this up and running. I took out the student loans. I did the work in college, all of it. So, you know, you have to be able to get rid of the excuses and just decide, you know what? I've had all of these setbacks, but I know what I want, and I'm going to take the actions to get what I want instead of making these excuses. And something someone said to me a few years ago when I was teaching, when I told him, he was actually the campus director, the new campus director, and I was like, man, people really don't like you. I don't even remember what we were talking about in his office. Someone, like, it was another teacher who came in and just started like berating him about something. And I just kind of looked at him when the dude left and I was like, man, these people don't like you for some reason. And I knew the guy from, you know, a different position that he had, and we weren't best friends or anything, but you know, and he looked at me and he said, it's lonely at the top, but the view is great. And let me tell you, there's nothing truer ever spoken than that. But the only way you get to the top is by dropping the excuses about how you can't do anything because you somehow didn't lead this wonderful, fantastic childhood and go to all the best schools, because frankly, it doesn't matter.
It really doesn't. I mean, I, as you well know, I went to school for my original plan when I went to school was to become a paramedic. I went through, got it, was a paramedic for a very short time. You know, that just wasn't my thing after I went to school for it. Then I went back to school for, you know, drafting and design. But look at me now. I work on houses. And the reason why drafting and design didn't work for me is I can't, and my wife can tell you about this, you know, all day long, I cannot sit still. She sits there and, like, looks at me. Why are you still walking the halls? It is 9:30 at night. You have not sat down yet. You know,
Go get on the treadmill. Get out of my face.
Yeah, I don't sit down. And I think that's one of my, it's not really a flaw, but it is one of my biggest qualities, I guess, if it's not a flaw. I don't stop moving. So drafting and design was out of it for me because it involves sitting at a desk for 8 hours a day. And
minimum.
I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't do that. So, you know, I started getting back into construction, which is what I was in before I went to school. And now, as my wife has said multiple times on the show, now I'm self-employed and I don't have to sit down. Now it's expected of me not to be sitting down. So it's great. It works for me.
Yep. And, you know, because you do it on your own, you're able to sort of set your own rates that are reasonable to your target market. And, you know, one thing about you is you do not fall into point number 6 out of the 6 reasons why people fail. The 6th reason why people fail is they're scared of success. And my husband is not scared of success. He puts the work in to get it done. But a lot of people are. They're scared to succeed. They're afraid of their own potential. They're scared of what they can do, of what they'll accomplish. So they don't even try, or they find these little ways to sabotage themselves, or they continue with the negative self-talk that says being mediocre is okay, even though they know they're uncomfortable there and they don't like it and they want to do something and stand out. And yeah, being, you know, the prospect of becoming successful is incredibly scary to a lot of people, because if you're given the opportunity to succeed, there's also the opportunity to fail. You can make some money. You could end up losing money if you're not careful, depending on what you're doing. So ultimately, you really could crash and burn. But you know what? Your house could get struck by lightning. Your kid could get hit by a car on the way to school. Yet you still live in a dwelling, you still likely send your kid to school. And if you're a homeschooler, your kid still goes outside once in a while. And if they don't, you're a bad parent anyway. So,
nice way to just call them out there on that one.
do what I can. Well, you know, most of my homeschooling friends, they like to tease me. It's like, yeah, we don't send our kids to school. It's like, no, but you take them to the library. You take them to the park. Bad things can still happen is the only real point. It doesn't really matter what you do to mitigate the risk. Something could still happen. But you don't let those possibilities get into the way of doing what you want to do. And that's what you have to think about with success.
You know, I'm, whenever people say things like that, I'm always reminded of, and I hate quoting movies, but
you're such a liar. You do not hate quoting movies. You are such a liar.
I'm working on something here. the Rocky Balboa movie, the one that came out, and he said it doesn't matter how hard you get hit. It matters how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Yep.
You're going to fall, especially if you're starting your own business. You're going to fall. You're going to fall probably once within the 6 months. You know, it's going to get hard in that first 6 months. There's a reason why new businesses fail on a national statistic, like 90% of businesses fail within the first 5 years.
Yep.
There's a reason for that. It's because whenever they fall, most people just like, oh, I failed, and then they walk away. They don't pick themselves back up, and they don't go, well, that sucked. Okay, let's keep going.
And they didn't have a plan for what could happen. They didn't have a way to work through these contingencies. And then you've got the people that think because they're going through something hard in a business that they're failing. And that's just not the case. When businesses grow, and growing too fast is another reason why businesses fail. But when businesses grow, shit gets hard.
Oh, yeah. And it's not just business. It could be, you know, something hard's happening in life, death of a relative, or you know, a divorce, and people are all of a sudden they're not working as hard. They're not doing what they need to do. You just got to get up and go. You have to keep. It seems ridiculously hard, but it's not. You know, there was a video on Facebook about a guy who gets dumped. And the five ways to get over, you know, the five steps to get over her. And he ends up at a gym, like, for a year and ends up, you know, so much, you know, ends up 10 times better of a person than what he was whenever he was actually with her. And then she starts trying to call him back and starts sending the, oh, I'm thinking about you text messages and phone calls. And
those
you just
are
see
the
him
worst.
Like, yeah, and you just see him, like, put the phone back down and go back to sleep with a smile on his face, you know. And that's the way life is. I'm not saying life is like women or, you know, men or, you know, they're like relationships.
Go ahead. You can generalize.
Really,
I'll let you. Go ahead.
But, yeah. But it really is that life is very much like a relationship. You're going to break up. You're going to get back together. You're going to find something better. That's what all this is. That's what business is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to. Instead of breaking up, you're gonna fail a little bit.
Yep.
You know, whether it be,
it's,
oh, I lost
hard.
A really big client. Yeah, I lost a huge client. Or, you know, recently in my case, I did actually pretty much lose a client. Problem was, I had left some tools out at their house because I thought I was coming back in a month. Now they don't want to talk to me. But they've got $300 worth of my tools.
That's,
you know,
always so much fun.
Yeah, for me, it kind of sucks because it's like, great, now I have to go out and buy $300 worth of tools, which for me means I have to get $300 more work in order to.
But it's a lesson, too, for you, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't matter how well I, you know, because I've been working for these people for a year now.
I remember.
You know,
I remember when you started that contract.
Yeah, I've done five or six different jobs for these people, and now they're just like, we don't want you anymore. And it's like, awesome. That sucks.
Well, and it is what it is.
Yeah, and I move on, and I, you know, I pick myself back up, and I go at it again.
Yeah.
Why people seem to think that, my big client left, or, you know, anything like that is going to be what's going to send you, if that's what it's going to take to send you in a downward spiral, you really, really need to reconsider your life. Maybe you need to go back to work for somebody else.
Absolutely. And, you know, maybe that's something. So we only have about 5 minutes left. I think that's probably something we should schedule maybe for next Friday is talking about how to be prepared for, you know, when you do lose a client and things of that nature, you know, how to be prepared to go about handling that. Are there any other last tips that you would like to share with everyone while you're here?
And just if no matter how hard it gets, it doesn't last. It really doesn't. It gets better or you get used to it.
Yep.
And a lot of people don't like the idea of just getting used to it, but if it's what's making you money and you get used to it, you'll find out eventually it's going to work out for the best. Kind of like you. You started out with making, what was it, like $750 a month, and you make probably five times that much now.
I wouldn't say five times that, but we do okay, yeah.
You know, making pretty... You know, it's always an uphill climb, and you just have to get your plan ready. You'll be fine.
Absolutely. It's all about contingency planning. Everybody, don't forget, if you're listening to this in America, it is Election Day on Tuesday. Make sure that you go out and do your civic duty and vote. Don't really care who you vote for. Just go out and vote. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to go by selfly.com, SELLFY.com/TheRobinBull, and pick up your copy of the 1.5 hour long SEO basics webinar. We will talk to you guys next week.
So hopefully you're walking away with some action items, a great attitude, and a plan to catch the next show by subscribing so you never miss anything. If you're a hopeful work from home freelancer, or if you're well into your work from home lifestyle, it's our hope that you gain the insight and tools you need to succeed. As a matter of fact, we have the perfect get started course for you right now. Go to sellfy.com/TheRobinBull now and grab your Becoming a Profitable Writer with 22 audio and video lectures by Robin herself as she walks you through the business basics, including how to set your own rates. Don't waste another second. Go and find out if you could be undervaluing your services by going to sellfy.com/TheRobinBull. Now, join us next time and keep learning.